Welcome to the High Hopes Phillies Minor League Rundown. I'm Jason Springer here with Jeff Cohen, following the journey of the players chasing their dreams in the Phillies farm system. Jeff, another big week in the Phillies farm system, and they added some players there with the international signings and market opening.
They added a lot of players, a lot from Venezuela.
Clearly somebody's been down there scouting. We'll have to find out who's been doing that. Not too many of the top 30 prospects, but they did get a bunch of players. They did get a right-handed pitcher from the Dominican, Gene Hernandez, Randy Vasquez, a shortstop from the Dominican Republic. You know, these guys are really young. It's going to be a long time till anybody really sees them. They're going to start with the Latin American Academy in the Dominican Republic for most of them, if not all of them. Anything jump out at you about this?
A lot of pitchers, but that's something that you always have to do. You have to take risks on a lot of these young pitchers. Keep in mind, they're 16, 17 years old. Their bodies haven't developed yet. They're not as tall. They're not as strong. So it's a whole process that they go through. And, you know, you say a lot of people won't see them. I'll tell you, one of the fun things, I don't know anybody going down to a lot of these places often, but if you're ever down in the Dominican, you can go to their new complex.
You tried. Check out
the, yeah, I picked the wrong weekend,
you
obviously,
tried last
but
year.
The
they
Dominican's
were
a great place.
Yeah.
And for people that are down in Clearwater, it's not just the Threshers that you can see. You can go onto the backfields that you can go on during spring training, and you can catch, there's two Gulf Coast League teams. So you can see a lot of these young guys. The best thing to do, if you're going to do, is go down right after the draft, because then you could see people like Bryson Stott and people that have just been drafted as they're playing their first games as professionals.
Those hopefully future Phillies that we'd like to see in the system eventually.
Well, my hope is for us is that when we get to Williamsport, that Bryson Stott will be up there, just like we got to see and talk to Alec Boehm last year, is that we'll get the opportunity to talk to Bryson Stott. I would suspect, give him another 2 weeks and he'll be in Williamsport. And believe me, they need the help right now.
They do. We'll get to them in a minute. Why don't we start with Lehigh Valley, where you were last weekend. We're going to have an interview shortly with John Hernandez that you got. The Iron Pigs are 40-42 in fourth place, 8 games back of Scranton. What are your thoughts, having been up there last weekend with the team?
Well, first, as you mentioned, I got the chance to talk to two of our favorites, two guys that are really good hitters and love hitting. We got to talk to John Hernandez. We're going to play that. And next week, we'll play our interview with Austin Listy, who we've talked to before, and he's just a really great guy.
He's been lighting the world on fire since he came up, too. 5 multi-hit games, 5 home runs in his first 8 at AAA. Definitely the start he was looking for. Looking forward to playing that interview next week.
I'll tell you what I saw of Austin is that Austin was back playing first base in a lot of the games in AAA. And as you'll hear when we play his interview, Austin loves to hit. He is a hitter, and even when I asked him what his favorite position is, he said hitting.
I love to watch Austin hit.
Yeah,
too,
so because he's got an interesting stance. I mean, it's a stance that you really have to perfect, because he gets down. His stance is very wide, and he gets down in the crouch. And one of the things that they teach you as a young ball player is make sure that whatever stance you're in, you don't go up and down, because you're changing the angle you're seeing the ball. So Austin has really come on fire. And, you know, one of the things that was interesting about him is he struggled early in the season, but he doesn't think he struggled. He thinks that he was hitting the ball hard. It just wasn't falling.
Just had bad luck.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see how somebody can remain confident through that and the hitter's mentality, the professional's mentality. But also got to see Cole Irvin pitch. So
that's your boy.
Yeah. So it was an all-around great game. And Nick Williams, too.
Since returning to the minors, he's allowed 3 earned runs in his 2 starts with a 1 whip and 9 strikeouts. His ERA is at 2.35. Nick Williams is hitting 17 straight games. He's had probably his most successful stretch that he's had in a while, trying to rebuild his confidence and get himself back up. What's your thought on those two players? Do they get another shot this year? Do they become chips for the team to try and build the big team? Where are they?
I mean, I guess it depends what happens at the trade deadline. I still believe that Cole Irvin, if used properly, and I'll leave it at that, if used properly, Cole Irvin can be a very good fourth or fifth starter. You cannot bring him into the game game. He is not does not have a reliever's mentality. He doesn't bring him into the middle of an inning or a middle of a game is not going to be his strong suit. He is a guy, he's a thinking man's pitcher. He's a guy that needs to work through that and work with the catcher. And I think that he will get another shot. I mean, look, they're struggling at the major league level with regard to starters, so he should be given another shot after the All-Star break. As far as Nick Williams goes, the problem with Nick is he's an everyday ball player. And right now the Phillies don't have a spot for him as an everyday outfielder unless you're going to move Kingery back to the infield, and which I would not mess with him. He is hitting and he's playing a really good center field. And if he's going to be a fourth outfielder who's only going to play every couple days or every 4 days, you're going to have him not producing the way that he can produce. So maybe now's the time that you use him as a trade chip for a starting pitcher.
I was going to say, I wonder if he becomes one of the chips. A lot of player movement this week. Jose Taveras promoted from Reading. Matt McBride activated off the DL. David Grillon, who's an all-star and was going to be in the home run derby, put on the injured list with a left toe fracture.
He was going to be defending his title as the home run champion.
He was. We were there last year in Trenton the day after.
Oh, Trenton.
Heard,
yeah, he was.
And heard how special it was when he won the Double A home run derby. So, that's definitely a shame to see. But, it's good that you got to see a good game out there. You saw some offensive explosion last week when you're out there, Jeff. Mm-hmm. So,
and the end of the Lane Adams era.
That's right. Lane Adams was released. The Phillies are, you noted to me that they're focusing more on development than keeping veterans around. Is that a change in this organization?
No, I think it's an evolution. I think what happens is at the beginning of the season, they kept people like Sean Rodriguez around and Phil Gosselin and Lane Adams because they needed to develop their younger players so that they were confident with them with the ability to come up. Now with Gosselin having gone through the rotation and Sean Rodriguez going through that, Lane Adams was kind of the next casualty in that because now you do have guys that need to move up, to need to progress, and now that people like John Hernandez are back from his injury, those are going to be the next men up if the Phillies need people.
Since we did more of a deep dive into Lehigh Valley this week, let's quickly go through Lakewood and Clearwater. Lakewood is 5-9 in the second half of the season. It's sixth place, second half, five games back from Delmarva. Clearwater's 10-6 in second place, one game back of Dunedin. What's got your attention with those two teams?
Well, with regard to Lakewood, it's pitching again. You're not seeing a lot of hitting in Lakewood, except for, by the way, a guy we interviewed a few weeks ago, Ben Pelletier, who's up to now 8 home runs, and I can tell you, Lakewood is not a home run ballpark. So he's definitely got the power and should be moving up, I would guess, very soon to Clearwater. Kevin Gowdy is the one guy that, people said, what's up with this Kevin Gowdy at the beginning of the season? He was injured. He was a high draft pick a few years ago, and he's now rounding into form. He's only 21 years of age, and he's only allowed one earned run in his 5 of his last 6 outings for a 2.55 ERA. So I think that's a guy to watch, as well as Ethan Lindau.
I was going to say, tell me about another arm, Ethan Lindau, a lefty. We like lefties in the system, Jeff.
Ethan was at the Crosscutters last year. He's only 20 years old, and he's 3-0 in his last 5 outings with a 1.77 ERA. The batting average against is 1.55, and his whip is only a paltry 0.74.
My goodness.
Yeah. Now, you get to Clearwater. We've talked about Colton Eastman. Colton Eastman, I didn't think was ready. I was wrong, and I'll say it again and again and again. He has just had a great time since he's been up. 22 years old, 2.9 ERA, 1.24 whip. In his last 11 starts, he has 74 strikeouts in 62 innings. So he's the guy to watch. One other guy you should watch, our number one prospect, Spencer Howard, is on his way back.
He's being Spencer Howard.
Yes. So he didn't have a great outing yesterday, but he's starting to. You need to get your command back. So yesterday he pitched a little over 2 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. Not super again, but it's exciting to see that he'll be back with Clearwater soon.
Why don't we leave that there and let's go to the interview you have with John Hernandez, and then when we come back, you'll tell me about it, and we'll preview Redding's game tonight.
All right, we're here in Allentown with John Hernandez. John, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You?
Good. So, John, tell us about your season in AAA.
I mean, it's good. I like this. I like here in Lehigh Valley. I like the fans. Especially the stadium is pretty good. It's pretty nice. hanging there, you know, play every single day, you know, helping my teammates and my team, you know, with ball games.
You started off pretty well at the beginning of the season and then suffered an injury. What was it like to go through that experience and getting back?
I mean, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, I was working with Mike, my trainer, and then they sent me back to Clearwater for a week, you know, to see some live BP and, you know, some pitchings. But still, you know, it's part of the game, you know. I'm back at it, you know, playing hard as I can, you know, and have my team, you know, the win ball games.
When you're going through that process of rehabilitation, are there times you get frustrated or you get anxious, or are you somebody that's patient and is able to realize, you know, this is the steps I got to take?
No, I mean, I was desperate. I can't be here in the dugout, you know, sitting, you know, eating sunflowers and bubblegum. I can't do that. I mean, I was warned, you know, to play every single day, you know, but it's part of the game. I can't control that, you know. But I was like desperate. I was talking with my trainer. Hey, I want to play. And he said, hey, I mean, you need to wait, man, because you have broken wrist. So after that, 3 weeks after that, and then they see me back to Clearwater. I understand, you know, it's part of the process, you know, and then been back, you know, and, you know, bouncing back here and play every single day with the Lehigh Valley again.
So when you're rehabbing in Clearwater, you're still keeping in touch with your teammates up here?
Oh, of course, yeah, all the time. They text me, and then all of a sudden they ask me how I feel, you know, how I was doing everything in Clearwater. Yeah, I have a good teammates here, a good friends here.
What has it been like bonding with this group of guys and watching some of them go up to the major leagues?
It's good. I mean, it's good. It's a good experience for me. I mean, playing with these guys, you know, a lot of experience in the bigs, and they teach me a lot, you know. Like Adams, you know, Shane Robinson, Austin Romine, you know, all those guys that play a lot, long time in the bigs, you know. I'm a student here, you know. I'm one of the youngest guy here, and whatever I need to, you know, to them, I'm going after, you know.
You know, it's an interesting term. You said you're a student here. So what have you learned from the older guys on the team?
I mean, a lot. I mean, they just, you know.
Things you can say on them.
They just, you know, they played, you know, they so smart this game, you know. I was playing last year in the Reading, but this year with these guys, I play a lot because I teach a lot with these guys because I feel like they have a lot in their minds. Like, I don't even understand how they play the game so well, so smart, so patient, so calm. So that's the way I want to play too.
What have they said? What has been the piece of advice that you've taken most from the teammates that you have?
I mean, play the game, slow the game down. That's the most, you know, that's the advice that I heard every single day about them. Just, you know, stay calm and play hard every single day.
Well, that's an easy thing for those guys to say.
Yeah.
For somebody who hasn't played baseball, how do you slow the game down?
That's hard. That's hard to do, man. I mean, especially in this level, I mean, you want all the things, you know, doing right, you know. But like I said, you control that. You what control is it? I mean, you play the ball. Play hustle every single day and as hard as you can, and that's it.
Last year we talked about your change in position. We've had the pleasure of seeing you play since you were in the Gulf Coast League years ago, and you've kind of gone from shortstop and third base to playing the outfield. How has playing the outfield helped you with the rest of your game?
I mean, definitely, it's more relaxing out there.
Uh-huh.
So I can, you know, there's a lot of, you know, mindset in the outfield. You know, you can control that. Even when I was in shortstop and third base, it was too much reaction. You know, I had to play like, you know, all of a sudden I had to like be reaction at the time. You know, be prepared all the time. But in the outfield, I feel like I have more time. You know, more calm. I can think about, you know, I had situations, even in my, you know, in my box, you know, even in my at-bats. So I feel great outside, I mean, in the outfield.
You enjoy playing the outfield?
Of course, 100%.
Yeah?
100%.
Did you play the outfield when you were a kid, or were you basically an infielder?
No, I was shortstop all the time. Shortstop all the time. I got drafted by the Philly shortstop, and then, you know, all of a sudden they got drafted J.P. Crawford, and they moved me, like the next day, hey, you play third base. So
I remember seeing you play when you're, you know, young guy playing third with him playing next year.
I played third base 5 years, and then they moved me when I was in high A. And Doughboy, I play alpha, and then here too.
So whose idea was it for you to play the outfield, and what was that conversation like for you?
I think it was Joe Jordan. That time was the player development. And Andy Abad was the outfield coordinator. One day I was in Clearwater, and they called me, hey, do you want to play outfield? I was like, whenever you need me, I'll play. Okay, tomorrow I want to be here 1 o'clock, so grab your glove and play some catch. So all right. And then next day, they gave me an outfield glove, and he said to me, hey, go center field, play some fireballs. I was like, okay.
Stick you in the deep end, right?
Yeah, all of a sudden, after that, I played like 16 or 17 games in a row in center field and right field. And now we are here.
What was the biggest adjustment?
I feel biggest adjustment is for me was I didn't know how, you know, read the fly balls. I mean, off the bat. For me, footwork is important in the outfield, and I think hit the cutoff, man, that was always an issue for me because I have good arms, so I want to throw every single time in the base. And they say, hey, Jan, you hit the cutoff, man. Hit the cutoff, man. For me, that was the biggest adjustment for me, yeah. Control my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned footwork. Most people wouldn't think about footwork as when it comes to the outfield. What is it about your feet that you have to be able to do differently?
I mean,
like if you're going to a clinic and talking to a bunch of young kids, what do you tell a kid about what they need to work on their footwork?
I think the footwork is everything in baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to play shortstop, you have to be quick with your footwork. You have to be third man footwork. Even the catcher too. I mean, the outfield is different. I mean, you have to run. Obviously, you have to run a lot. But if you don't have the footwork, you can't throw the base like good as you want. Or if you can't, you're not gonna catch the ball if you don't like foot. I mean, you have to good footwork. You know, it's more practice. You know, every single day. You know, go to outfield with purpose. Okay, I wanna. Practice my footwork today. I want to practice my hit the cutoff, man. Or I want to practice whatever you want to practice. But for me, the most important thing in the outfield is footwork. And don't be so, so comfort, you know. Oh, I want to catch the ball this side or this side. No, just catch the ball that right. I mean, right in the head, and that's it.
Okay. So. We talked to you last year about what had happened with the hurricane in Puerto Rico, which is where you're from. Have you had a chance to go back this off season, and can you report to us how things are back in your home?
If I had a chance?
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, right now we have, we are 100% good. We have water, we have power in the whole Iceland, thanks God. And, it was a tough moment, man. It was a tough moment. I talked to you last year about this, and it was a tough moment for us. But, you know, now we're back, and we are 100% good.
But people still need help back there.
I mean, some people, in the middle of the Iceland. But still, it's better than the last year, you know. And it's been part of the surviving the Iceland, you know, after that hurricane, you know, it was a tough moment. But I think we good now.
Well, In the off season, we hear you're a fan of another sport, in particular the NBA and the Sixers.
Yeah.
So do you get a chance to come down to Philadelphia and go to Sixers games?
No, not really. I can because I was playing winner ball in Puerto Rico. But
have you ever been to the Wells Fargo Center for a Sixers game?
No.
No. Yeah.
No, I can't because I was playing in winner ball in Puerto Rico. So, but I saw the games. So the game, the Sixers games, and TV, and I was pretty excited because those guys, you know, unbelievable. And Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, you know, Joel Embiid.
Is that your team now?
Yeah, of course.
What was your team growing up?
I was Lakers. I was Laker fans. Yeah, I was a Kobe fan.
Yeah.
But now I'm a Philly, so I'm a Philly fan too. So I like Sixers. So. Hopefully they sign Jimmy Butler, you know, again.
All right. So today, it is now Saturday, June 30th, or 29th, actually.
Yeah.
Free agency is about to start.
Yeah.
So if John Hernandez were the general manager of the Sixers, here's your chance to speak to the Sixers. Who do you want?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's depending on how money I have in my bank. So I think they need Jimmy Butler again, because you know the big part of the lineup.
How about Tobias Harris? Yes or no? And if it's a no, who do you want instead?
I think yes.
Yeah,
it's a big part of the lineup too. But I'm going to another free agent, and it's gonna be a Danny Green for the. The guy that played with the Raptors. The Raptors is a good player.
What do you like about him?
I mean, because he can shoot, he can defense, he can play defense a lot. For me, he's a good guy for us. But definitely my first free agent that I put on my list is Jimmy Butler.
What do you like about Jimmy Butler's game?
What I like from Jimmy Butler, I mean everything. I mean that guy can hit threes, you know, dunk. He's hustling every night. You know, I feel that's the guy that we need in the team.
All right, give us one dark horse that you think the Sixers might sign that nobody's talking about. No pressure.
Wow. Phil. This guy for the Clippers, Pat Beverly.
Yeah,
he's a good defender.
Yeah,
I think we need guy to defend. I mean, I like that guy. He's a good, you know.
All right,
put pressure in the ball, you know, too.
All right, well, if they sign him, it's you. We're gonna give you credit for it on our show.
All right.
Okay. All right. So the last question I have for you: you're now in AAA. You're healthy. You're hitting. Is it hard to not think about that you're so close to achieving your dream and that the major leagues is just, you know, 70 miles down the road?
If I told you that I'm not thinking about that every day, I'm lying to you. I mean, this is when I wake up like every single morning and I'm like, oh my God. I'm just one step on the bigs, man. Yeah, I'm thinking about that every day, and it's put me in a situation like, you know, nervous, you know, butterflies in my stomach, you know. But you know, like I said earlier, I can't control. I mean, I'm gonna control that I can control. So, you know, I mean, I'm gonna keep playing my game. I'm gonna keep help my teammates and my team win ball games. That's all I can control.
And when it happens, because we believe it's gonna happen soon. And when it happens, who's coming to the game?
For my family.
Yeah.
For my family, my mom, my grandma, my dad, every person that put something in my career, in my life, you know, they are coming. Definitely are coming.
All right. Well, we're going to keep following. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Jeff, great job talking to John. It seems like he's in a good place right now.
He's in a good place, and he's excited to be playing baseball. You can see from talking to him how much he loves playing the game. It was hard for him having an injury and having to sit out, as he said, But he is back. He's enthusiastic. And I thought it was an interesting answer. You get from a lot of ball players when you ask them when they're a AAA, do they talk about getting, you know, think about getting to the major leagues? And they always have your canned answer. And John had the answer that you know a lot of ball players have, which is, if I told you every day that I don't think of it, I'd be lying to you.
People always ask us, do these guys really care? Do they care about winning? Do they, you know, every time we talk to them, I'm reminded just how much they really do care.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a team sport. They care about their own development, obviously, but they do care about their teammates. And you see that every day. I mean, they grow up with them.
Yeah. All right, we got just a couple minutes left. Reading is in first place after 17 games in the second half.
Yeah, let's hope they don't get hosed by these rules at the end of the second half.
I know you have a hard time with late nights. Did you happen to stay up for the end of the second game of the doubleheader Tuesday night that ended at 12:35?
I have to confess I did not, but apparently you can get apparently you can get a free ticket if you couldn't stay that late. So yeah,
Jeff, you may want to contact me about that. Tell me, what else should we be looking at? They're 10th in the Eastern League in batting, but 3rd in runs scored. Their bullpen is, I mean, dominant, just absolutely dominant.
They just have really good pitchers. I mean, and they keep developing them. Aaron Fultz has done a great job this year developing the mentality of a bullpen and just keeping them on their toes no matter where they come in.
Tell me a little bit about Mickey Moniak. He left Sunday's walk-off win with a hamstring injury. Doesn't sound like it's too serious. Anything there you're worried about?
No, I think you just have to be cautious with a hamstring injury. I mean, Mickey is having a really good season, and he is still one of the younger players at AA. So, you know, we've told people time and time again, be patient, and the patience is paying off for the Phillies.
Alec Bohm is on fire, continues to hit well. I enjoyed an interview that I heard with him the other day where he said he doesn't concern himself with launch angle. Jeff, that means that you're his biggest fan now, right?
That's right, I am.
That's how you decide if you like players.
No, I think analytics is important, but I think each person has their own personality and has their own way of success, and if you can't make it a cookie cutter, everybody's swinging the same, which is the same thing with Austin Listy.
Some thoughts for tonight's game before we sign off?
Well, we got David Parkinson on the bump, 6-4, 3.31, in 13 games this year, 73.1 innings pitched, 61 strikeouts, 1.19 whip, 59 hits, and 28 Ks. He's a thinking man's pitcher.
We will have to get back out there soon for another game. They will be playing the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Any final thoughts, Jeff?
You know, I don't want to say anything nasty about squirrels. So, all right.
Happy 4th of July to everybody. Nothing goes better than that with baseball. Have a great one. Thanks so much for joining this week. Now we hand it over to Greg Caserta and Kirsten Kierbach as they take you up the first pitch for the Fightins here on 610 ESPN. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the ball game.